Our sermon text this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Acts 2, 1 through 13. Now hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, be gracious to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation to all nations. Let all the peoples praise you. Judge the people righteously. Govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, that the earth yield her increase, and all the ends of the earth fear you. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we gather again this Lord's Day, this the first day of the week, as the new humanity in Jesus Christ. As you've already heard this morning, God has forgiven us, redeemed us, set us apart for himself. He has raised us to newness of life and seated us on heavenly thrones with our ascended Lord. And it is with the ascended Christ that we gather with the triumphant saints and angels and archangels to praise the true and the living God. We are 1 week removed from Ascension Sunday, where we celebrated the God-man Jesus ascending and sitting at the right hand of the Father, reigning until all things are under his feet. And as the church, we rejoice in this reality for heaven and this reality for earth. For God did not discard his creation as worthless because of sin, nor abandon his people due to rebellion. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And before the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, "I will be with you until the end of the age." So before the Son of God returned to heaven, he promised to be with his people. Before he left, he promised to be with his people. How is that possible? He told his disciples he would be with them. And then he went up to heaven. If you were one of those disciples standing on the mount that day, what would you think as he went up? But the comforting promise of Jesus was true. His words did strengthen, despite what it might have appeared to be a contradiction or confusion. Because he had previously told his disciples that he was leaving and it would be better for them that he leave. In John 16, Jesus to his disciples said, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Huh? Better without Jesus. Boys and girls, does that make sense? Better without Jesus. I'll be with you. See ya. How can this be? Well, brothers and sisters, today is Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate today the great event that happened 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord. And it was 40 days after his resurrection that he ascended into heaven. But 10 days later, when the Holy Spirit descended upon his apostles, Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. And the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is the good and glorious answer to the possibly confusing promises of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the answer. How is it better for the disciples that Jesus would leave them? Continuing in John 16, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The Helper would come. The Comforter would come. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, would come upon the Lord's people. How can Jesus promise to be with his disciples and then leave? He would dwell in them by the Holy Spirit. Now, the coming of the Spirit is foreshadowed and promised throughout the pages of Holy Scripture. This was a great and historical event described in Acts 2. The apostles, obeying the Lord Jesus, were staying in Jerusalem and waiting for the Spirit to come in power. Boys and girls, if you're tracking with me, count how many times I say power today. I've said it twice. Acts 2, verses 2 through 4. "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They were speaking or preaching in other tongues. Now in Jerusalem, for the celebration of Pentecost, were Jews from other countries, every nation under heaven, the scriptures say. They had been dispersed from Israel and were living in Gentile lands. And they came back for the feast of Pentecost. And it says that they heard. All those Jews from every nation under heaven heard and understood the apostles in their native tongues, the tongues of the countries where they were dwelling. The hearers recognized that the apostles were all Galileans, but were able to preach in other tongues. And this confounded them. Something greater was happening here. Someone was stirring things up. Who was that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on the apostles as fire. He came as power upon the apostles. He blessed their speaking, their preaching, and he blessed the hearers to understand. What should have been nearly an impossible situation, Galilean Jewish Christians trying to communicate with a multitude of Jews from different languages, they all spoke in those different languages, all at one time. The Spirit blessed divine speaking and divine hearing and understanding. How can we call it divine? Because the Spirit was doing it. And because God performed the first stirring up with languages in an opposite manner. Boys and girls, when is the first time that God stirred up with languages? The Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one tongue. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Now, in pride and rebellion, man rejected God's worldwide mandate to Noah to spread and fill the earth. Here at Babel, man tried to unite in the power of the flesh, opposing God's design. Like our father Adam, those at Babel tried to ascend to being like God by disobeying. And God came in judgment, and man fell. God cursed by confusing with language. Continuing in Genesis 11, Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And Yahweh said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So Yahweh scattered them abroad from over the face of the whole earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there Yahweh confused the language of all the earth, and from there Yahweh scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is at the Tower of Babel. The Lord coming down, man in rebellion, and he confused. He confused and scattered. But at Pentecost, the opposite happened. The opposite happened because the humble and faithful God-man Jesus Christ obeyed God's will. Jesus didn't try to overcome by the power of the flesh, but he submitted to weakness. And God rewarded his faithfulness by giving him authority. Authority over heaven and earth. The Son of Man and the Son of God, Jesus, ascended in heaven. What were they trying to do at Babel? Build a tower to heaven. But because Jesus obeyed and submitted, he ascended to heaven, bridging heaven and earth. Jesus connects heaven and earth. God then came in judgment upon the land of Israel. Instead of confusing the tongues of the people, the Spirit gave understanding. The Spirit brought unity to God's people. Instead of scattering, the Spirit brought the people together. Instead of the people seeking to make their own name great, the name of Jesus was exalted at Pentecost. And Jews repented. Rebellious men seek a counterfeit unity. Rebellious men try to build an earthly kingdom to oppose God. Power is used for selfish ends. And even though rebellious men may be united for a while, they will eventually turn on one another. As a modern-day musician once sang, "Poor man want to be rich, rich man want to be king. King ain't satisfied till he rules everything." The king ain't satisfied till he rules everything. Sinful man always, eventually divides. And this is what we're seeing in the world today with the rampant tribalism. While there's talk of a godless unity, it ultimately leads to conformity and submission to someone who has all the power. It's a power struggle. And that is the spirit of our day. At Pentecost, God began to reunite the nations. Today, people like to talk about world peace. People like to wish for peace on earth. Well, Pentecost reflects that is something that only God gives. Where else are you going to get peace than from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ? Where else are you going to get international peace between nations than the Pentecostal reality of the coming of the Spirit? And this was the gospel truth the apostles preached at Pentecost and throughout the chapters of the book of Acts. Repent and unite yourself to Jesus. Submit to God's will. This is the fulfillment of the gospel first proclaimed to Abram, that all nations be blessed in him. All nations be blessed in his seed. This was coming to fulfillment. No more Babel curse. The Spirit was giving understanding. The gospel would go forth in all tongues, all languages. And the gospel would go in power. This was not a man-made operation. No flesh and blood could conceive of such a story. The king would die for his people. He would return from the dead and establish his kingdom. And he'd have all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, we heard last Lord say that Jesus took that authority to heaven. Everything that's happening on earth is being governed from heaven. Everything that's occurring, being carried out, is all part of God's restorative plan for mankind and for his creation. And it's happening by Jesus' sovereign control. And it happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit filled the apostles. The Spirit blessed their preaching. He blessed their teaching. He blessed their evangelism. He filled Stephen in his public defense of the gospel. He blessed the Apostle Paul in his ministry to the Gentiles. The church grew and spread by, boys and girls, the power of the Holy Spirit. Both God-fearing and repentant Gentiles repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The recreative work of creation, the reunification of the nations, was happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that great commission Jesus gave to his disciples, to disciple the nations, all nations, would be in the authority of his name, and his promise to be with his disciples in executing this task would be that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who's discipling the nations right now? Jesus. Jesus is discipling the nations. How is he discipling the nations if he's locally in heaven? By the power of the Holy Spirit. We heard last Lord's Day on the Ascension that Jesus has given all things to his body, the church. And those apostles in Acts marched through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, preaching the gospel in the name of the Lord Jesus, the name that is above every name. And they preached and were effective in their ministry because they didn't go in the power of the flesh. They didn't go to make their name great. They didn't try to build a kingdom of man or a worldwide empire on earth. That'd be fleshly. Another Babel. It'd be a counterfeit. And powerless against God. If they were to do that, he would scatter it again. Any kingdom or nation, brothers and sisters, any organization, domestic or international, any religion or church that seeks its own glory, that seeks the praises of men, ultimately raises itself up against the knowledge of God, it will be destroyed. It will be toppled. But this toppling is not done with arguments from wisdom of the world. Those in opposition to Jesus are not brought down by the weapons of the flesh. It's only by divine power. That is what destroys strongholds. That is what Pentecost kicked off. Yes, Jesus kicked off worldwide dominion in the new covenant with the great commission of his disciples. But Pentecost sent it out with power. And that's where we are today. We are gathered before the throne of God the Father, the Ancient of Days. We gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. That name was just applied to Abram Daniel this morning. The name of the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling with us as people. On the Lord's Day, God meets with us. Heaven and earth come together. Another Pentecost occurs. Fire comes upon the church. Fire anoints us. It lights us. And we are sent forth from the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, to carry out the Great Commission to disciple the nations. Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. By what name do we preach and serve and evangelize and minister? By what name? The name of the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, Jesus the Christ. That's why we must obey God rather than men. But how do we do this job? How do we disciple the nations? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you worship God? How do you love your neighbor? How do you serve the community, raise your kids, and fellowship at table? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not on your own here. Jesus promised to be with you. We're not doing this of our own strength. God is doing it through us. That's how we love. That's how we do good works. The power of Christ in me, in you, carrying it out. Last Lord's Day, you were charged to live the ascended life. Be mindful and joyful that you sit on thrones in heaven, that you serve the King of the universe. What can flesh and blood do to you? Live the ascended life. Brothers and sisters, this Lord's Day, you are charged to be a Pentecostal church. Yes, you Reformed Presbyterians, be Pentecostals. All Christians are Pentecostals. We are filled with the Spirit. He illuminates our understanding of the Word. He lights us up on the Lord's Day and sends us forth in the name of Jesus to love and serve and disciple the nations. We are filled with the Spirit. But being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean we speak unintelligibly or that we act uncontrollably. The Holy Spirit brings order. But this does not mean that we are stoic and lifeless. On the contrary, being filled with the Spirit means we are joyful, we sing boisterously, we are musical because the Spirit is the breath of God. Being a Pentecostal, or a Church of Pentecost, if that makes you more comfortable, it means singing. It means feasting. It means fellowshipping. It means laughing, joyfully, loving, and serving one another by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Christians, Christ Church, be more festive. Live and minister by the Word, because the Spirit always goes with the Word. They're not antithetical. Speak and sing the Word of God. And live in the continuing presence of Jesus with His people. Remember that promise, Jesus said. I will be with you. How is He with us? By His Spirit. How is it better that Jesus is in heaven and the Spirit is here? Jesus is with us by His Spirit. In His incarnation, the infinite Son of God took on human flesh and dwelt in one person, the God-man Jesus Christ. The infinite Son of God dwelt in one finite body. Presence of God in one. But in the descending grace of the Spirit, in the growth of the church, that Spirit of Christ goes forth in multitudes. No longer just in one person, but in multitudes. Y'all have the Spirit of Christ in you. You abide in Him and He abides in you. When you go forth in the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit, that's Jesus serving the world. When you love your neighbor and you speak words of life, that's Jesus speaking. When you carry out the will of God on earth, that's the triune God affecting His will on earth as it is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of Christ came in power at Pentecost. He glorified His bride on earth. And He sent His disciples to the ends of the earth. And that power, that glory goes forth with you today to bring about the will of God to all nations for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. How awesome are Your works, O God. Make Your enemies submit to You through the greatness of Your power, that all the earth, all nations sing praises to You. Send us forth, O Lord, in glory and power, that the voices of our praise will be heard to all peoples. Refine us as silver is refined. You have brought us through water and fire. Bring us to rich fulfillment in You. We extol You with our tongues. Blessed be You, O God. Attend to the voices of our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.